Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, welcome back to the Rundown Post Game Show here on the Strickland YouTube channel. If you're listening to this the day after the Strickland Podcast Network, I am Sam. I'm joined by Luca. The Knicks win 122-109 in a huge win over the Milwaukee Bucks, bringing our record to a 46-32. Tied with the Orlando Magic, who of course have the tiebreaker over us, but we are sitting in a three-way tie, I believe, with the Magic and the Cavs. So a lot of shuffling going on in the Eastern Conference, but this was a huge win for the Knicks. A lot to get into with this game. But of course, before we get into all of that, I must do this glorious ad read. And it's down to the last two teams now. BetOnline has been your tournament bracket headquarters all March long. And now that we're almost down to the finals, we've still got a lot more in store. MLB is here and the NBA and NHL playoffs are around the corner. As always, BetOnline is the number one source for your summer sports wagering. Head to the BetOnline app today to stay updated on all the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus. On your first deposit, BetOnline, the game starts here. And we also have, hey, Believe Nation, as you all know, we've partnered with Cut, the social betting platform. Cut is a peer-to-peer betting platform that allows you to bet directly against your buddies and other fans. That's right. You can join the Believe Knicks crew on Cut today and bet directly against us on your favorite sports, pop culture, and politics. Cut is the ultimate put your money where your mouth is platform, and it's legal here in New Jersey and New York. Be sure to follow at Cut Bet on all your social media channels and download the app via the App Store or cut.com. Use code BELIEVENICKS for a 10% deposit bonus. All right. Shout out to the Knicks today. Coming off a disappointing game versus the Chicago Bulls and honestly a disappointing week. I mean, going back to Sunday versus the Thunder. And then you had the game against, I forgot who was after the Thunder.
It was Thunder, and then who the hell did we beat? Sacramento.
We played Sacramento. That was an impressive win against the Kings.
And then it was Chicago, and then tonight.
Yeah, so it was a really up and down week for the Knicks. And they really needed this win, especially with the way things are going on in the Eastern Conference. You had today, of course, what happened with the Cavs, who melted down earlier in LA, up 27 versus the Clippers and ended up losing in regulation. And then you had the Magic, who continued to win and continued to stay strong. So, you know, there's a lot going on in that Eastern Conference, and the Knicks want to make sure that they are in a favorable position. And they came into this game against a Bucks team who has been reeling lately, losing to a lot of bad teams. The Bucks, they lost three straight to the Grizzlies, the Wizards, and the Raptors. Yeah, I mean, holy. To lose to those three teams who are clearly not trying to win anything at this point in the year, shows what's going on in Milwaukee. And yeah, I mean, you got Doc Rivers down there. They're now 15-17 with Doc as their coach after starting the year 31-13 with Adrian Griffin. So there's just a lot going on there. But shout out to the Knicks for coming into this game and taking care of business. We're going to start with one Jalen Brunson, 43 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 16-32 from the field, so 50%. Got to the line, thankfully, today. 9 of 11 from the free throw line. And yeah, he surpassed Carmelo Anthony as with the most. He has the most 40-point games in a season since Carmelo Anthony.
Really?
So, yeah, I think he's only behind Bernard King now, who had 13 40-point games in a season.
What number is this for Jalen? Do we know?
I think it's 9 40-point games.
Damn. Yeah. Season. I mean, unless he drops 40 the rest of the way, then that.
I mean, hey. I'm all for that. That strengthens the MVP campaign. That strengthens all that. So yeah. I am perfectly fine with Jalen Brunson doing all that. But yeah, I mean, he showed up again once where we needed him against a Milwaukee team who struggles against guards. I mean, that backcourt of Damian Lillard and Malik Beasley is out there fighting for their lives. So yeah, and shout out to Ace Bouchard here. I mean, Damian Lillard starting in that All-Star game just looks even worse and worse and worse and worse as the year goes on. As Jalen Brunson has like made it a considerably strong MVP case at this point, and Damian Lillard is still struggling this year. Looks like he's just regressed as a whole, and it's going to be interesting to see what the Bucks do as a result of that in the playoffs. I don't trust them because they're relying on Giannis and this washed up version of Dame, Chris Middleton, who left tonight's game with a mouth injury, and
what'd they call it?
Mouth trauma. And you have Bobby Portis, who decided to light us up tonight, especially from three, with four threes tonight. So there goes that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't trust the Bucks. I don't think a lot of people trust the Bucks. I think that's why a lot of Knicks fans were so they were just so hopeful that Randle would come back, so that they thought that this would be the year to at least challenge Randle. But shout out to Jalen Brunson, who did what needed to be done tonight. Luka, your thoughts on Brunson's performance?
He was awesome tonight. I mean, like, it's evergreen at this point. The dude is just, and Swin's talked about it for the past, I mean, the whole season, really, and then especially the past couple months since Julius and OG have been out. What he's doing is, like, just unreal and unheard of nowadays. Like, between the minutes he's playing and he's barely missing games and the efficiency he's putting up with the amount of spacing that he's been playing with, especially without OG on the floor, it just speaks more and more to his impact and his growth as a player this year. I don't think if you told me he would be putting up 40 and 30 on the regular last year, I would have believed you, like when we got him in free agency. I don't need to say that he's exceeded all expectations. I mean, 43 points on two made threes is ridiculous in the NBA nowadays. One turnover to eight assists again. He was a plus 11, 50% from the field, 43 points. There's just not really much more to say about him. I mean, if we want to look on the flip side, I thought Dame was fucking awful tonight. Like, brutal. I know he had a decent first quarter.
That was because of the very friendly whistle he was getting.
I mean, 14 of his 23 points came from free throws. He shot 15 free throws tonight. And like, I guess the refs are doing literally everything in their power to try and keep him not washed, but it's not looking too hot. I mean, with the way that he's defending now, and he's not, it feels like he never has efficient games. The Bucks really have it. They really have a lot on their plate for the playoffs if they want to have a chance to go far in this thing, because it can't really be all on Giannis like we saw with the Heat series last year.
Yeah. And shout out to Jalen Brunson tonight, of course, too, making the right plays. He was getting doubled a ton. It led to a lot of the other guys finding their game tonight. Hartenstein was one of the people that definitely benefited off of this. Getting a lot of him and Dante, they both got a lot of those feeds. Hartenstein has proven to be a nice little outlet from Brunson off those doubles. I like the chemistry that they've developed over the last, like, I want to say like 20 or so games, especially since the All-Star break. They really developed some nice chemistry where they kind of know where Brunson is going to find them off of these doubles. And another great scoring game from Hartenstein, 18 and 10 tonight with a steal. He was just a solid force down low. But offensively, I just like to see this side of him too, because it just shows you like the other avenues of his game.
I mean, it makes him and the Knicks offense as a whole so much more potent, because like teams already have to respect his gravity as a passer. But now that he's finally starting to hit these like short floaters and push shots, and he's finishing around the rim better, because I think he's actually finally fully healthy again, that Achilles, or at least getting there. It's going to be a lot for teams come playoff time, man. I mean, I know we all love Mitch, but I think it's obvious at this point, iHeart is way better for the offense. And the way he's been defending this year hasn't been a significant drop off from Mitch's peak as a defender. So I just think there's a lot of value with him as the starting center moving forward. I mean, I know that's not exactly a decision we have to make right now. And at least for this year, it's looking like Tibbs is going to stick with Ihart as the starter, which is probably better. But yeah, no, just really good to see him healthy. I thought, even though he didn't have any blocks, I thought he was really good protecting the rim for the most part tonight. He had that one play. He was either late in the third or early fourth, or maybe it was the middle of the fourth. But when he dove and poked the ball away from the Bucks player and then saved to Jalen, who got it to Bogey on the fast break. Like, it's just good to see him healthy and able to make those types of plays again at this point.
Yeah, definitely. I thought he did a good job on Giannis. Speaking of doing a good job on Giannis, OG Anunoby, stats don't scream too loud, especially offensively in the box score. Only 4 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, but 4 steals,
6 blocks. Yeah.
Did an amazing job on Giannis today. I mean, Giannis is still going to get his 28, 15, and 8, whatever. But I thought he did a great job on him. He definitely bothered him a ton. There were some possessions where he was out on Dame a little bit. I mean, Dame's washed, but whatever. But I just thought OG did a great job defensively. Like, that is where his presence is always going to be known and shown. I tweeted out that I think that OG's shot is suffering a little bit of a setback, I think, from the elbow surgery. And hopefully that's something that kind of corrects itself by the time we get to the playoffs. But defensively, he hasn't missed a beat. and that's something that, you know, is encouraging to see regardless, you know. And it looks like they're trying to, like, ease him in. I say that as he has, like, 38 minutes tonight.
that's easing him in for Tibbs.
It is easing him. But yeah, I mean, I just thought that, you know, he looked great defensively. And hopefully his offense starts to come along as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought OG up. Like, how could we not, right? It was so obvious the type of impact he made on this game. I mean, again, the first half was a little rough. You kind of expect that when your second game back from – how many games do you miss? 7? Your second game back from a second 7-game absence is just the rest letting Giannis run through your chest every drive. It'll be a little hard to acclimate to that. But the second half especially, I thought he did a very good job. Like you said, Sam, the shot's still getting there. But I do think, like, overanalyzing a little bit, but the fact that he's not screaming in pain anymore is probably a good thing. And none of the shots, like, the form is there. I thought he was, like, short-arming a lot of his shots when he first came back. Now he's just missing, which is – he's a good shooter. I think the shots are going to go in eventually, as they do, but – his defense on Giannis was incredible, like, especially towards the later parts of the game when we needed stops. It's really hard to state just how much of an impact this guy has on the court. Like, you look at his box score, 2 of 10 from the field, 4 points, 3 boards, and 2 assists, and then he's a +7. It's like, it doesn't even matter what he does offensively. His defense is always going to make up for it. Or for the lack of offense if he doesn't make shots.
Yeah, and I mean, you also have all these other guys that were able to contribute offensively too, which we'll get into. I want to shout out Josh Hart. He was missing from the last game because he got ejected off some BS. And after that point in the game, I sort of, like, fell asleep because I was, like, sort of, like, half sick. So I was just like, you know what? If Josh Hart's not going to be here and we're going to get smoked by Javonte Green, I'm going to doze off. So I just went to sleep. And I woke up to see the Knicks loss. But Josh Hart's impact, again, once again, like, he's not going to have, like, such, like, flashy. Like, some nights he's going to go for the 31 points, like he did that other night. And then some nights he's going to have a near triple-double like he did tonight, 7, 9, and 9.
22% of the field is rough.
It is. But, you know, when you get the production that you get off the bench from Bogey and Deuce, who we'll get into – you know, you kind of are able to sort of ignore it. Playoffs, it's going to be way louder. But for now, and when we get the production from others, it's okay. So I don't mind it too much. And when he provides the other intangibles with the 9 rebounds, the 9 assists, things that we were definitely missing against Chicago and the parts that I did see after he got ejected.
Very much so, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, shout out to Josh Hart doing what Josh Hart does. And, you know, for all the slack that we do give him, I mean, he is able to provide these intangibles that help us win possessions and win games.
Yeah. I think I'd like to stick with the Josh point for a little bit. You're right. It is going to be way louder, these types of shooting performances in the playoffs. But if Tibbs is going to show the versatility to play Bogey at the four in order to keep Josh on the floor, I think that'll be fine, right? Because, like, if Tibbs is going to – I feel like we've – or a lot of people on here between Jeff, Schwinn, and I have mentioned this. If we want any chance at going far in the playoffs without Julius, we're going to need to have shooting on the floor at all times, right? And especially shooters to help Jalen. So if Tibbs is going to show the willingness to go with three shooters on the floor and keep Hart out there, right? Or even, like, at least just have two shooters besides Jalen on the floor. That's basically my point. We can't really see any of these Hart precious or Hart too big minutes anymore. The offense is just not going to fly in the playoffs. But if Tibbs plays like a Brunson, let's say it's Brunson, Dante, Bogey, Hart, iHart lineup, you can live with that because of the shooting that Dante and Bogey give you next to Brunson. And additionally, just to go back to Bogey a little bit, as Schwinn's pointed out many times, he's at least trying on defense. Like, just because he can't move and is really old and unathletic doesn't take away the fact that he's still trying his best to stay in front of guys. And if he's going to be shooting like he does and giving effort defensively and he's surrounded by good defenders, I think we're just going to keep seeing Bogey play more consistently and more like we expected him to as soon as he got traded here.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of Bogey, shout out to him tonight. Shout out to him lately. It seems like he's found his groove. I think it's also helped a ton that he's not playing with Burks wasn't in the rotation today, thankfully. It looks like we're starting to ease him out of the rotation as we head to the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, Bogey, he did his thing, especially in that fourth quarter. He had like 7 of his 15 points in that fourth quarter. Him, Deuce, and Mitch, they kind of like really solidified like that opening to the fourth quarter and really kind of just like stamped the Knicks win right there and then. Like from that opening run, I think that's where they killed the Bucks' spirit.
Yeah.
And you kind of saw after that the Bucks just didn't know what to do because like Mitch and Deuce were dominating defensively, and then they're just letting Bogey cook offensively. And it was just the perfect balance. And this is the type of like stuff that you want to see from like these lineups that are without Brunson in these minutes. Yeah. Just like finding ways to stay alive on both ends. And this is against a Bucks team. I mean, say what you want about the Bucks. They're still like 47 and whatever in the conference. So, I mean, they're still a respectable enough team that, you know, they should be able to take advantage of our non-Brunson minutes. But tonight, you know, shout out to Deuce, Mitch, and Bogey for solidifying on both ends, you know, finding a way to keep this team afloat without Brunson on the court. And that's what you want to see, especially heading into the playoffs. You're hoping that this momentum keeps up.
Yeah. This is going to sound very Jeff of me. Shout out to my God, Jeff. If the bench lineup, right? Deuce, whoever, OG, Mitch, Bogey, if they don't give up points, I don't give a fuck what they do on offense. Like that team is, or that lineup is just not going to give up points. We saw it today. We just absolutely suffocated them in the early parts of the fourth quarter, and we had just enough offense to like build a little bit of a lead, because having OG and Deuce man the perimeter and then an increasingly more healthy Mitch camping in the paint and roaming and blocking shots and deflecting passes, it's going to be hell in the playoffs for other teams' benches. And it's either the other team's benches, whoever we play. Off the top of my head, none of the teams we could play really has a strong bench. Maybe Orlando, depending on how they rotate. But the point is, like, if we're going to make enough shots, that defense is just going to absolutely kill teams, especially with the way defense slows down or offense slows down come playoff time. There's going to be no space for anything. And that's a really good opportunity for Brunson to get rest, even as we wind the season down in the regular season. Because if those minutes, once Tibbs gets more and more comfortable with those minutes, it's just going to be more rest for Jalen, which is better for everybody.
Yeah. Holy hell, Tyrese Maxey has 54 points.
You bet on him tonight?
Nah, this game was weird because it was like no Embiid and like the Spurs have been weirdly competitive at the end of the year. It's like,
I'm sorry, Wemby has 37, 17, 6, and 7 blocks.
Yep.
Average Wemby game.
Average Wemby game. Average Wemby game. That's how good he's been his first year. It's actually ridiculous.
It's scary.
Yeah. But yeah, shout out to Dante, who I don't even think we talked about yet, but 26 points, 8 threes. Another solid outlet for Brunson when he was getting doubled. Hits 2 huge threes in the fourth to really put things away. Who weirdly enough, the Bucks hit like back to back threes after cut the lead down, and Doc was like, "All right, wave the white flag." Yeah,
Doc was like on the bench in there, dude.
Let's throw in the substitutes.
My timeline was fucking hilarious when he did that.
I was like, "He's just giving up after you just lost 4 straight games. After you just lost 3 straight games to what you call it,
like 3 terrible of the worst teams in the NBA."
And now you're just like throwing the white flag. You're down 10 with like a minute and change to go. Like, you're not even gonna try for it.
He's so unserious, dude. But I mean, I'll take, like, we were probably gonna win anyway, but I will take the free win. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, Doc.
Without a doubt.
But yeah, Dante was awesome tonight. I mean, he had his worst game as a Knick might be a stretch, but the Chicago game was rough. Maybe the dude on the sidelines got in his head.
That loser.
That video, man, is fucking hilarious. I enjoyed that video.
That guy's a loser.
But he more than made up for it tonight. Like, I would much rather. This is a much bigger confidence booster than beating Chicago up the other night would have been.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, given, like, the toll this takes on the standings, the opponent, like, it just – there's just so much surrounding this game that just means a little bit more. And it was a revenge game for Dante, too, who Jordan Bubb points out, against his former team, who traded him away to – didn't they trade him away to, like, make room to, like, get Ibaka or something like that?
Yeah, it's, who said that in the comments? It might have been Jordan. Or somebody said it earlier.
It was Ace Bouchard. Ace Bouchard said Bucks trading Dante for Ibaka's corpse will never make any sense.
That was such an odd. I don't know. The Bucks
have made some very questionable decisions in their history. But yeah. Speaking of comments, let's get through some of these comments. We got quite a few, and make sure that you guys are leaving comments that we can further our discussion as we talk about this Knicks win. Very important Knicks win.
I like the first comment from Chris.
Right here. Doc is so embarrassing. Dude is a joke, man. Like, the one thing I want to know is, who is Doc going to throw under the bus tonight? If Doc leaves a quote, I know Jordan Bubb's probably going to have it. So shout out Jordan Bubb. I already know Jordan Bubb's going to have it for us so we can laugh at Doc Rivers throwing someone under the bus. We'll be here waiting for it. We'll be here to laugh at it. He's constantly throwing someone under the bus. Like, it's never Doc's fault.
Who was it the other night? He like blamed the staff again or something.
It's like, dog, you're in charge of the players going out in the court, man.
He's so, oh my God. And of course, Schwinn with the fuck Doc Rivers. As soon as he's hilarious with that video. That is so fun.
Oh man. Dude. But yeah, let's get through some more of these comments. Chris Bernhard also points out all Boyan needed to play well was Burks being nowhere near the court. Yeah, shout out to Burks not getting any run tonight.
I think it might have been Schwinn who said that. That's a fucking fantastic call. I'm sure it was Schwinn or somebody who said, literally just don't play Bogey and Burks together, and one of them will be fine. And I'm glad that Tibbs chose the right guy to sit, despite his previous love for
infatuation.
Yeah, his previous love for one Alec Burks. But in all seriousness, like, I'm just happy the trade is at least somewhat of a positive, or it's looking like it's going to be at this point. Because like Grimes is, his knee is like barbecue chicken in Detroit. Burks hasn't played more than 10 minutes in like a month, and Bogey is finally starting to come around. So we'll take some positive out of the trade.
Yeah. I mean, over in Detroit, I mean, looks like they're happy with their Malachi Flynn return because Quentin Grimes hasn't been doing anything.
Malachi Flynn might be the most valuable player in the trade.
Oh, man. Man. Fella says, good looking out, Doc Rivers. Once a Knick, always a Knick. Very true. He is a former Knick, so there is that.
Also, speaking of Doc, shout out to him for never playing Andre Jackson for some reason.
He doesn't like any of the young guys.
Not him. Marjon Beauchamp, I know, would have had like 20.
Those guys were in the rotation when Adrian Griffin was the coach.
Yeah. And they
were fucking as soon as Doc got there, he was like, nah.
He was like, great young talent that'll help my team win games. Nah.
Nah. Let me aging play. Let me play Jay like Crowder and AJ Green.
And random white guy AJ Green. Yes, please.
Random short white dude.
He's like all like him and Strus and Duncan Robinson are all just variants of the same person. I don't know where that random white
three. It's like random white dude that like went to like a mid-major or something, or like was at the bottom of the depth chart of like a mid-major, just randomly coming in. Watch, one of these teams is like Miami or Milwaukee. They're gonna pick up that Jack Golkey guy that was killing it for Oakland.
Oh my god. Already has him.
It screams Milwaukee or Miami acquisition.
Spo would somehow make him a positive defender. I'm so convinced of it. He would like lead the league in steals or something that year. Book it. Golkey lead the league in steals next year for the Heat as they get to the Eastern Conference Finals as the 11 seed.
Right? Oh my gosh.
I don't know what the fuck I would do if they made another run as a low seed this year. But hopefully
they get doesn't come to that.
Yeah.
Connor McCollum says, if Brunson practices the dark arts, then Dame's got to be freaking Voldemort. Love this team.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, Dame, the way that he gets calls is kind of ridiculous. And the way that people talk about Brunson, I mean, you're always going to have comments. And shout out Brian Benjamin for the $2 super chat. Remember, friends, there are super chats available. So shout out to Brian Benjamin. Another way to help support us over here on the Strickland.
I was just going to say, do we want to talk about the Windhorse thing?
It's an absolute joke.
Like, the way I think Colin put out the tweet comparing Jalen and Jimmy's free throw shooting seasons after the Heat game. Like the way, I don't know how you can look at Jalen and like, sure, I understand that his play style might be somewhat predicated towards drawing fouls. Like he definitely does manipulate defenders into fouling him. So what? Half the league does it. But to say that he's like a Harden or Trey of the dark arts is ridiculous. Do you want to compare him to Prime Harden? I'm actually now curious at what Prime Harden's free throw attempts per game were. But
Prez had a tweet up. Prez had a tweet up that compared their like
Oh yeah, he did do that. I forgot he did that in the court a couple of days ago. But that's just like you said, it's just a fucking joke. I don't like biases aside. Even if the way he plays annoys you, to call him a master of the dark arts, like he hasn't never gotten anywhere close to the whistle that Trey has or Jimmy does or Dame does. Like he's not even on the same level of like the East elite superstars. It's crazy.
Yeah, let me see if I can find up the Prez tweet. But yeah. Shout out to Ryan Benjamin, another super chat. He said, the $5 chat isn't working for me. Did we fuck up the Bucks?
We fucked the Bucks up.
We did. As many teams have been doing to the Bucks lately.
Yeah.
I mean, Josh. shout out to our former Suns RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley for helping wreck the Bucks the other day as well.
So this is from Catch just now. Josh Hart said when he took a half-court heave to end the second quarter, he felt his wrist click, and it clicked, almost clicked back into place. Said he went to Brunson at the half and told him, I can shoot threes now.
Dog, what?
Is he fucking serious? Then shoot more than, first of all, shoot more than two if you're going to troll. Also, is this guy having like the greatest PR season in Knicks history?
He is for sure.
Roll.
He is for sure.
He is on a heater with these quotes. It is hilarious. Oh my God. He had some insane post pregame as well. Also, right, according to Schwinn, Knicks magic number is down to one.
Nice.
To clinch a top six seed. Oh, I went 31-13-7 tonight.
Yep.
My beautiful baby boy. I miss you. Come home.
Speaking of Prez, I got the tweet up now. It says, Windhorst and Bontemps compared Brunson to others, and I quote, master of the dark arts. Foul drawing like Trey, Harden, and DeRozan. JB's free throw rate. So the league average free throw rate is 100. JB's is 117. Old man Harden. So this is old man Harden.
This is this year?
Might be this year, I believe so. 170 free throw. Old man DeMar.
That's good.
187.
That's
career
good.
Average, 150. Trey, 167. Trey's lowest ever was 127 as a rookie. So still higher than Jalen Brunson's this year.
So these guys are like 60%+ better than league average, or they get more free throws than, or like 60-something% more free throws than the rest of the league. And Jalen is like 17% more than the rest of the league. It's so stupid. It really I'll never is. Get the discourse. It has to be that he's short and people don't like the way he plays. It has to be.
Partially.
It's unreal. But enough talking about that.
Interesting.
Boston loving Brian Windhorst.
Bubb.
Go ahead.
Jordan Bubb here from Kendrick Perkins. Big body Brunson will cut you everywhere. But loose, just ask Dame, Giannis, and Middleton how that 43-piece wing dinner tastes. Carry
Chris Middleton
on.
Stray.
Chris Middleton was barely in the game today, and he caught hell from him.
Shout out Perk, though. Perk be holding it down for Knicks fans.
Best Knicks fan in the media ever.
I don't know what we did to make him such so infatuated with the Knicks, but I'm not going to complain.
I'm not complaining either, man. I will accept the fanhood.
Yeah. Did we really talk about Mitch that much or Deuce?
We talked about Mitch and Deuce when we talked about the opening of the fourth quarter and how much they set the tone, at least defensively.
They were so good. I mean,
yeah. I hope that Thibs found something in that lineup that he can use to like stifle some teams when Brunson needs a rest.
Yeah, that's the you're not going to score. Let's hope we can get a couple free throws in this stretch lineup.
Exactly.
I wonder if there's lineup data out for those three yet. I doubt it.
Yeah, but probably barely anything because Mitch hasn't played that much. And
they probably allow like negative points. There's no data yet. I'll see if it updates after tonight. But yeah, that lineup is going to give up no points at all. And like I was saying earlier, if they can get any semblance of offense without Jalen on the floor, like if Bogey's going to be the play initiator and just have Deuce and OG as spot up options, I'm all fucking for it, bro. Like it's just going to, if we get like 70% of Detroit Bogey and the play starter and initiator and play finisher that he was, we're going to give some random team hell in the playoffs. I still think we'll win a first-round playoff series. Depending on what we get from some of the supporting casts, I wouldn't be surprised if we push a second-round team or second-round series to seven or even win one.
Yeah, it all depends on matchups with the Knicks, I think. The East is, like, so weird, too, because, like, every team is just, like, so, like, all over the place. So it's just like, yeah,
We could talk about that towards the end of the show, who we want to see.
Yeah, for sure. Jordan Bubba, of course, also brings up Tom Thibodeau on the diving steal from Hartenstein. That was unbelievable. Those are the kinds of plays. They inspire, they unite. If it doesn't get you excited, probably even you guys got excited.
I'm sure he was talking to the media. Tibbs is also a character.
I'm so glad he finally, like, after whatever game, I forgot whatever game that was, but he was like, he's getting fouled. Like, he was doing all this other, like, sarcastic BS, like, all the other games. And it was just like, all right, you need to make a statement to the refs that, like, you are not here to play with them, like, because, like, they're messing with your star player and, like, it's costing us games. So, like,
apparently it fucking worked. Like, it got him 11 free throws tonight.
True.
He's getting fouled.
We'll see how long he keeps up.
He's getting fouled. And then he just fucking leaves. Like, was that the best Tibbs post game of all time?
Possibly. It's up there.
It's definitely up there. It's up there with the winning is more fun than fun is fun post game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. JK says Doc throwing in the towel after back-to-back threes from BP. And Beasley was insane. Fireable offense. He's had tons of fireable offenses. He's still kicking, though, because, you know, even when Doc Rivers doesn't want to coach, he ends up coaching. Like, it's just remarkable. This guy just doesn't go away.
Didn't he go on the podcast and was like, why the fuck would you guys hire me?
Yeah, he was like, why are you guys doing this?
Like, imagine an NBA team comes to you and you're like, why would you choose me?
And you still hire the guy.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, this guy sucks at his job? He'll lead us to the promised land.
It's like, it's crazy.
The Bucks are a sick franchise. Like, that is, oh man. I mean, I know there's the legal stuff with Adrian Griffin, which we don't have to talk about. But still, like,
he had them 31-13.
He's a better coach. He's at least a better coach than Doc is.
He had them 31-13. There was, like, no reason to fire him, in my opinion.
Did you see the Brunson post game? Breen asked him, how's the chemistry and how are you guys getting along so well? And Jalen goes, we low key just hate each other. Oh. What is wrong with this guy?
Oh yeah, here it is from Jordan Bob. He says, we low key hate each other, but we like each other. We always find something to make fun of the other person. Somehow that turns into great team chemistry.
Oh man. I mean, no wonder.
I get it.
Grimes probably just was not funny in the locker room, and that's why everyone hated him.
Either that, he was just like whiny. Or, like, he was like too like TikTok-y for them.
Why are you guys making fun of me?
Or he was like too TikTok-y.
Nah, he hasn't played. He's probably posted more TikTok slides than he's played in games since he got traded. I'd be willing to make
knee,
that.
That knee, he's cooked.
Judah goes, JK, if you had a penny for every time Doc had a fireable offense, you would be richer than Elon.
Very true. Let's see. Judah Benchar says, Luka, IR has been just as good, if not better, than Mitch in defense. It sounds crazy, but it's what the advanced numbers say.
Yeah.
And if you watch him, he doesn't make as many eye-popping plays, but the stunts and smart cleaning, stripping plays, players, and his blocks almost always resulting in fast breaks, not out of bounds. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Hartenstein just had a lot of time to just get in rhythm with this unit as well, too.
Agreed. And, I mean, the only reason I said there's not that much of a drop-off is because, like, I know I don't want to make any insanely broad or, like, huge statements. I personally think iHeart is better, and I'm going to whisper that I think he's the better defender, too. Because it's just, like, Mitch cannot move like iHeart does on the perimeter. Respectfully, like, he gets a lot of his steals on the perimeter just because his arms cover the entire fucking court. But iHeart moves way better on the perimeter. He's stickier on guards on the perimeter. And his rim protection, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like he's a better block success rate. I don't know. He feels more I feel like he's more of a shot blocker. I know Mitch blocks a fuck ton of shots, but it almost, not saying he's not skilled at it, but it feels like a lot of his arms being long does a lot of the work. Like Ihart is very good at timing his jumps to deter shot blockers. And he's also very good at staying on his feet and not falling for pump fakes too often. But yeah, I mean, you can't discredit Ihart's defense this year. I think he still leads the league in defensive EPM. Let's see. No, he's second in the league in defensive EPM behind John Isaac now. But he's going to get himself paid, man. And he already said, I think it was a Scotto article that Ihart got interviewed for. And he said he would be willing to stay here if the Knicks match whatever. And with his early bird rights, I think we can give him up to 16 million a year or something around that. So I don't see any reason not to get this done and then just keep an elite center rotation that we have. You're muted, Sam.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would disagree with having Ihart here. And I think the Knicks, you said they have his early bird rights, right?
Yeah. It's not the they don't have the negotiation rights like we would if we drafted them, but I think we can just pay him more than other teams can.
Oh,
well, or we can offer him more in like the early stages of free agency or something like that. I don't know exactly how it works. But long story short is the guy's going to get paid and it's probably going to be by us. And that's a good thing for the Knicks because that guy's really fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah. I assume that he's going to be here.
Yeah.
For the
long run. Like Larry just said, it sounded like on the roommates pod that he was on. They were already talking about training camp for this next year. So it sounds like he's expecting to stay as well, which I won't complain about.
Yeah. Jordan Love says he thinks that if the Celtics try against us, that means that they would rather face the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals than us. I mean, I think a lot of teams would rather face the Bucks right now.
Yeah.
The Bucks are just not a serious team. Or at least they're not going to be taken seriously by a lot of people. So
it's hard for the Bucks to be like the Bucks need to have so many things going right for them to win a playoff series. Like Giannis, I expect him to be his normal dominant self in the playoffs. But like, is Chris Middleton going to miss 3 of the 6 games of the series? Is Dame going to have a game where he shoots above 45% from the field ever? Is Malik Beasley going to hit 6 threes, or he's just going to twerk every time he shoots the ball and miss 7 of them in a game? Like, you never know what you're getting from anybody outside of Giannis, right? And I guess Bobby Portis, but it's both so easy to game plan against and so easy to see them like just getting destroyed in a series. Like, I mean, they'll probably get fucking shredded by Indiana if that's who they pull in the playoffs.
Possibly.
I
think Indiana's had their number too.
Yeah, I mean, if they're 2, although I don't know, it actually might be the Heat again if the Heat are the 7th seed. But I just don't really like a lot of the potential playoff matchups for Milwaukee. They're just built too weird, and they're too dependent on old inconsistent guys. Like their we've seen this when they played us. Their entire offense is predicated around hoping they catch fire from 3. And if they don't, their defense is just not going to defend a single thing. Like, I think finally we shot, I think we shot 48% from 3 tonight. They shot like 37 and we beat them by 13. Like, if they're not on absolute fire from 3, they're not going to win a lot of games.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the games that they beat us, they had like what?
They set their franchise record for threes made against us this year. I know that.
Yeah, exactly. So like those type of games, they're not going to happen every time you face a team. So yeah. that's why I'm like sort of like critical of like the Celtics in a way, because I'm just like the Celtics, the way that they beat every single team in the regular season this year is just basically like spamming threes. And it's like, all right, like what happens to like what's your game plan going to be when those threes are not dropping?
Yeah.
And in the playoff series, there's so much volatility in that.
I agree. I think the Celtics are a little bit different because they do have the offensive firepower to to live through a cold 3-point shooting.
And they're better defensively than the Bucks too.
Yeah, like if they're not shooting well, they'll just beat a team like 92-88 or something. I don't take the Bucks as lightly as some people do. I think they're very much beatable, but they're still a very good team. And I was just curious.
But quotes like this from Doc make me feel very encouraged about our future versus them. He said, "This team is too talented, in my opinion, to go through this." After Milwaukee's 4 straight loss, and he said, "We have to figure Brunson out because we may see them again. We have to figure it out." You have to figure it out. You're the coach. You have to create the game plan to figure out how to stop Brunson. Good luck, because no other team in the NBA has.
Two of his three best wing defenders are rotting on the bench. And he's like, "Dude, we have to figure something out. We have to figure something out." I was curious. So the Bucks in their – Jesus fucking Christ. They shoot so well in their wins against us. In their wins against us, they shot 51.5%, 60.5%, and 53.5% from three. And then in the losses, it's been – in the Christmas loss, they shot 31% from three, and then tonight they shot 35. Like, if they're not absolutely on fire from three, they're not going to win a game.
Yeah. It's wild.
They're just so weird. Like, I didn't really love their roster construction, even when Adrian Griffin – like, I didn't love their roster construction coming into the year, coach independent. But Adrian Griffin did know how to get way more out of them than Doc does. I mean, like Ace said, they just don't have – well, they do have wings, but Doc isn't playing them. So they're just going to have nobody to defend anybody's best player. And, like, throwing Giannis on a guard is really dangerous for teams who have multiple good scoring options, which is basically every team that's going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. Let's see. So H. Broussard says, "It's funny how Windhorst doubled down on his comments when the numbers literally didn't back up his comments." You hate to see it.
Yeah, you really do.
JK says, if the way Brunson plays annoys you, watch a different sport. The guy's the best guard scorer since Iverson, and people continue to belittle him.
That's a take. That's... I'm not going to... I mean, Steph exists. Luka exists. Kyrie is pretty good still as well.
Brunson's he's up there.
He's up there. Like, I'm not discrediting him. The guy's fucking incredible at scoring the ball, especially at his tiny size. And with the amount of contact that defenses are allowed to get away with on him. That still is very annoying to me. Like, even if he has the free throw numbers, the whistle on the way to his shots are never going to be consistent, and they're never going to be the whistle that other East or superstars in the league get.
Oh, yeah, that's what's always annoying.
Like, he gets fouled so many times on the way to the basket before he even gets fouled shooting the ball, and then nothing's called. And fans – and, like, it allows guys like Windhorst to be like, yeah, Brunson's a foul baiter, and he's – He's a master of the dark arts of fouling. And then you see him get elbowed like 18 times a game with no call.
Get smacked in the face by Giannis today on a drive and didn't even get a call.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Just he's just got to – and he will continue to keep letting his play do the talking, and that's all I really give a fuck about.
It's ridiculous.
Wow, the Nets lost by 30 tonight.
Played the Kings. Kings were getting out their revenge of facing us.
They didn't even drop a graphic. They just tweeted final. What a sad state of affairs over there.
Let's see. What else we got here? Deuce McBride stats tonight. And he didn't get a lot of run today. That's so interesting from Thibs. Like, he'll just go from like playing a guy like so many minutes. Like, he played like Deuce like what 48 minutes in a game before, and he's played him like 40 plus minutes in several games. And like today, what he play like what
18
18 or something.
It's
so wild, like the extremes he'll like go to. I mean, it was still good to see Deuce like start that fourth quarter and set the tone for the team. But yeah.
Tonight may have just been a special case of not wanting to go too long without J-Lo on the floor, which is understandable. And it also might have just been like, I mean, now I'm curious and I'm gonna check Deuce's minutes recently. I mean, because like if he's still playing minutes, 37 against Chicago, 42 against Sacramento, 44 against Miami. If the minutes are still going to be there with OG back, then, and they deserve to be, then I'm living. Like, and even if he's only going to play his 20 minutes, we know what defense we're going to get from him, and we know he's probably going to hit a couple threes. So, like, most of the time he plays, he's going to be positively impactful. And I just hope Tibbs keeps buying into what Deuce has shown this year, because I think it's real. I don't think he's shot this well from three for this long for it not to be real and for Tibbs not to trust him.
Yeah.
And this isn't Tibbs slander, by the way. I just, like, it's hard to really concretely say he's going to do something other than playing his starters a majority of the minutes.
Yeah. Jordan Bob brings up the Knicks third quarter stats this April. 33.8 points per game. That's second in the NBA. Plus 39 point differential. First in the NBA, 61.8% from the field. First in the NBA, 24 opponents' points per game. That's second in the NBA. 44 opponents' field goal percentage. That's seventh in the NBA. So Knicks, third quarter Knicks looking like third quarter Warriors.
No more third quarter of doom, hopefully. Hopefully it's a third quarter of bloom from now on. I would appreciate that.
Tay212 says, I want to play the Cavs in the first round. Just end that failing fucking experiment. Hey, man. I mean, beating the Cavs 2 years in a row, sending Donovan Mitchell home 2 years in a row after everyone laughed at us for not trading every single player, every single young player that we had for him, would be very, that'd be very satisfying, especially with the way their fan base was talking, like, especially after that last exit. Yeah. They, like, thought it was, like, pure luck or whatever, and they thought, you know, they thought getting Georges Niang and Max Strus was going to save them. And I watched what happened today with that basketball team. Very funny.
We could literally send Donovan home as well. Come home to New York for next year.
I mean, yeah, that's possible.
I watched the end of the Clips-Cavs game. Mobley's pathetic. Did you see him get snapped by PG?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a Deuce McBride-esque ankle breaker of Mobley. It's just really fun to shit on the Cavs, especially, I don't think it's as much the team for me as it is just the fans talking immense amounts of shit when they haven't accomplished anything besides Bron carrying them to a chip like 8 years ago, almost a decade ago. But yeah, it would be very satisfying to beat up on that team one more time. I mean, I think they lost their soul when Josh snatched their chain after, or in the game that Jalen got hurt in. They haven't been the same since, I don't think.
Oh yeah.
I'm just
a team that loses their superstar in the first minute of the game.
Yeah, getting torched by that superstar's second round backup nonetheless.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that game was also so funny because Garland was like torching us for the first couple quarters, and then the fourth quarter he just decided to pack it up. It's like,
as one Darius Garland does.
He did it again tonight too. Or today against the Clippers. So yeah, as he does.
Yeah.
I'm actually. So since this is random, but since their loss to us in early March, on March 3rd, they're 7-13.
Sheesh.
So we really might have ended. They were rocking. They were
like, yeah, they were doing well even without Spider for a while. Like they were playing really well. Like they were missing so many players. They were playing really well. And everyone was like, man, the Cavs, they're rolling. And then they ran into us, and then I was like, nah, not anymore.
They ran into Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo and then ceased to exist. I mean, I feel like they were like, didn't they hold the 2-seed spot for a decent minute?
Yeah. Yeah, that's when they were rolling. They had that like huge win streak.
Yeah. And now they're the 5-seed. So Spider's got to come back.
Yeah, fast. Even when he is back, he doesn't look that good. Like against the Lakers the other day, he was like, what? Like he had like 12 points or something. Like he hasn't been playing well.
He looks super injured. I don't like making injury excuses for guys, except if they're Knicks. But he doesn't look healthy at all. And like he's been consistently listed out as injury management. So I'm interested to see if they're just going to like tank the rest of the regular season. Or the lot. Oh, well, they have Grizzlies, Pacers, Hornets. So they could probably afford to sit him those games and win too.
I don't know. They sat Donovan a game versus the Hornets, and the Hornets beat them a couple games ago.
On the 27th. Shout out Garland Stinker. Common Garland Stinker in that game. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm not too worried about Cleveland if we pull them in the playoffs, nor am I worried about the Magic if you want to talk about that a little bit, potential playoff matchups.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of teams that like scare me per se in the East, just because the East is like a lot of teams that are just like very inconsistent. They don't have a defining thing about them, I would say. The Magic do have defense that defines them. The Pacers are a really fast-paced team. That's what defines them. I would say those would be the two most annoying teams to play, the Magic and the Pacers.
Yeah,
in agreed. The first round. Just with those play style of the Pacers and the way the Magic kind of get away with a lot more physically.
I'd be interested to see if it's holds up in the playoffs though. Cause I feel like they're off, like whatever they're allowed to get away with on defense, they're just not going to be able to score points. They can't score points. And if like defenses are just going to be able to be more physical and handsy in the playoffs, like we come to expect, they're going to have a hard, hard time doing much of anything on the offensive end.
Yeah, I could see that.
And like as for the Pacers, their defense is just going to be super interesting. Like they're run and gun, but then again, everything slows down so much in the playoffs. I don't know how they're going to be able to adjust. And it seems like Tyrese's and Siakam's clashing play styles are finally coming to a head, and they're kind of like dragging their way to the postseason. So it'll definitely be an interesting first couple series in the East. I don't really know who I would want probably Orlando, because I think that would just be the easiest, quote unquote, easiest matchup for us. But I'm not really scared of any team. I'd like to avoid Milwaukee, which it seems like we're going to do.
Yeah, and even if we do end up facing Milwaukee, I'm not too scared because, like, the way they've been trending lately is just – it bodes kind of well for us.
Yeah. I'm honestly a little bit more scared of the lower seeds than I am anybody else. Like, I wouldn't really want to see a healthy Philly or Miami. Miami I just don't want to see because fuck them. Healthy Philly I don't want to see because despite Embiid's playoff drop – he's still Embiid. And if he's going to be healthy, that's still scary.
This is going to be annoying playing them.
He's just going to shoot fucking 18 free throws a game. But
it feels like every superstar does against the Knicks anyway, so it's not like it matters.
Larry Israel suggests that maybe the Bucks are matchup hunting. Matchup hunting never works out. Never works out. Because even if teams end up getting the matchup that they want, most of the time, they end up underestimating that matchup and things go terribly wrong in the matchup.
Didn't the Bucks matchup hunt 2 years ago and then get smoked by Miami?
I think so.
Because I know, I mean, you could say they matchup hunted last year as well and still got smoked by Miami.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the Warriors, they matchup hunted for the Kings in a way, which was weird because the Kings had home court, I think, in that
and
series.
And almost got smoked by them and then just died against the Lakers.
Yeah. So, like, matchup hunting has its ways where it works out for a team, but then there are times where it doesn't. So, yeah. And most of the time it doesn't.
Wow, the Heat came back today. I did not know that. They didn't win, but they made it a game.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, Hero's back finally?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Common Jimmy game. 12 free throws. Yep, that's nice. Oh, man. I despise everything about that basketball team. Jesus Christ. Oh, Hallie Stinker again. 12 and 8 on 3 of 10 from the field.
That guy, man. That guy. Let me guess. His hamstring is still.
No, you can't. No, he's injured, Sam. He's injured. Yeah. Leave him alone.
What was I thinking?
Leave my sweet baby assist hunting boy alone.
Jordan Bubb, today in New York sports, Mets win their series over the Reds, Yankees win their series over the Blue Jays, Knicks get a big win over the Bucks to help playoff seeding. Rangers tie their franchise records for wins in a season. Shout out to New York sports.
My teams are thriving, man. I didn't think I would see this as soon, but it might be looking up for New York sports finally. Besides like the football teams, but we don't really have to talk about those guys.
Yeah.
If Con was here, this might turn into strictly NFL, but it doesn't have to tonight.
Yeah. Let's see what other comments we have here. The Cavs are never going to be a serious team, Ace Bouchard says, as long as Mobley and Garland are on their team. It's so weird because like they traded for Donovan, and like you could make the argument that if they kept Sexton and Markkanen, they probably would have been perfectly fine with those other two guys developing alongside Markkanen and Sexton. Because like when you see what Markkanen and Sexton are doing for the Jazz now, it's just like,
yeah, they look really good, man.
They're really good, and like I don't think it would have stifled the development of Mobley and Garland as much because it would have helped at least with like Markkanen would have helped with spacing lineups and stuff like that. And Sexton would have been a nice little backcourt balance. It would have been too overbearing as Spida has been, I think, for Garland.
Yeah. I mean, they had Allen. So they had Allen, Markkanen, and Mobley already, but like Allen is just easily tradable at that point because then you just slide Laurie to the 4 and Mobley to the 5. Although Mobley doesn't really look like a 5, so who the fuck knows? But yeah, that trade was always so weird to me because like Cleveland didn't really give up a lot on paper. Like when you looked at the names on the trade, you weren't really super like it wasn't super eye opening or anything. Like if the Knicks traded it and it was like RJ Quick and Grimes, I feel like people would have been a lot more like, holy shit, the Knicks got fleeced.
Yeah.
But that trade is looking so – it's just not looking good for Cleveland. I think I brought it up on the postgame when we did the postgame when we beat Cleveland without Brunson. But it hurts Garland and Mobley that now that Donovan's here, their timelines are accelerated, right? Because it's almost like – a Grimes situation right before he got traded in New York. Like, we make the big swing for OG. The team's on absolute fire.
and he now has to pull more weight and be better now instead of having that extra time to develop and like take the nicks and bruises that would come with being a young player in the NBA. And now Cleveland is just like, especially this season with their window closing, with them having to make decisions on basically their entire roster, or at least the way their entire roster is going to look. I think it's just a lot of pressure on Garland and Mobley, and they're not handling it well so far. Playoffs might be a shift for them, but usually struggling young players don't all of a sudden turn it up in the playoffs, unless your name is RJ Barrett, of course.
Yeah, the one weird case where a young player just decided to be like, all right, let me start playing well now.
Yeah. It was beautiful for a series, or for two series to watch.
Let's see what other comments we have here. I saw a comment here that
Jordan did say Dame had as many. Oh, that's fine.
There it is.
Dame had as many field goals, 4 as turnovers, 4, while Jalen had 43 and was the best player on the court. There are levels to this. Yeah.
Yeesh.
Another one from Jordan Bubb. Shout out, Jordan Bubb.
He said, favorite random stat is OG Anunoby has yet to record a game with the Knicks where he isn't a positive plus minus 19 games, which is the longest streak in recorded franchise history since 1996-97.
New IQ just dropped.
Literally.
We've said it since his first game here. He's just a plus minus monster. I don't know how he hasn't been a negative. Because every time he plays, we just fucking smoke teams is why.
And he just does it, like, even when he's not playing well offensively, you're still going to be able to rely on him defensively to, like, fuck some shit up.
He was somehow plus 5 in an 8-point loss to the Bulls the other night. And he was am I losing my mind? Oh, that was the shorthanded Kings game. He was a... I cannot find the game right now. I'm struggling. But the guy's always going to have a positive plus minus. Like you said, Sam, whatever he doesn't do on offense, he's just going to more than make up for defensively.
Yeah.
Even if like the stock numbers aren't there, it's just going to be impossible for people to score on him. It's very fun to finally have a lockdown defender like that.
Man, so many years we went by without having a guy like that. And it's just like such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, and like a guy, he comes on the court and just shuts down Giannis for an entire half, basically.
Yeah. Ace Bouchard says that matchup hunting means you're a bad team. Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to really go around it. I mean, you could think of it as being strategic, but it's like if you're really that good of a team, it doesn't matter who you're facing. You think you should be able to take care of business versus them. Yeah.
Yeah. And it not only a bad team, it means you're a scared team. And if confidence is low for the playoffs, then you never stood much of a chance anyway.
Yeah. Judah Benchar says, Luka, I get not wanting the Magic because of their annoying physicality, but the Pacers, their play style isn't playoff friendly.
I didn't say I didn't want the Pacers. I was just saying, like you said, Sam, they're just going to be fucking annoying as hell to play. Both of these teams are. And especially given the way we've seen the games against the Pacers be officiated.
There's the Rick Carlisle of it all, too.
Yeah, Rick Carlisle's a really, really good coach. Like, despite all of the Pacers' inconsistencies and bad qualities as a team, Rick Carlisle always finds a way to make things happen. He's a very good coach, and I don't think people should underestimate that.
Yeah.
I can't pull comments up, but I will say JK said Cavs traded for redundant pieces. Yeah, I agree. I don't think like making a swing for your superstar to play the same position as your up and coming player is always just going to be a rough situation. Like it probably won't work out very often. Because there's just like JK, like you said, there's just redundancy there, and it just stunts a lot of growth. especially since they also have Allen and Mobley playing the same position. It's just a weird setup over there. But I'm very happy that I don't really have to care about it, except when we beat them.
Yeah. Nafim Mohuda asks, was tonight's fourth quarter non-Brunson lineup the playoff bench lineup? Yes.
I'd be willing to say so.
I hope so.
It was Deuce, Dante, OG, Bogey, Mitch? Or was it Hart instead of Dante?
And Hart was on the bench with Brunson.
Okay, yeah. That's a great lineup. Like, it has the defense. We were talking about it earlier. Nobody's going to score on the Deuce, OG, Mitch trio. And then everybody but Mitch on the floor is or can make a play or will end to shoot the ball. So that offense or that lineup has potential to give teams hell. Like, it was the lineup before Grimes got traded. I think it was Deuce, Grimes, OG, Precious, Dante, maybe. And that five man lineup had like a plus 40 something net rating before Grimes got traded. So three guard lineups without Brunson tend to work. And I don't see why this would be any different, especially given how balanced it is.
Yeah. All right. I think we can end things off here. Shout out to everyone that tuned in. Make sure you guys leave a like and subscribe. Knicks play again. When do they play again?
Probably Tuesday against
Chicago? Tuesday versus the Bulls once again in Chicago. We'll be back for post game after that game. Hopefully the Knicks take care of business in that game. And yeah, check out all the links in the description. Got links to the site, merch, Patreon, and Twitter. Make sure you guys are following us there. Make sure you guys leave a like and subscribe. And we'll catch you guys on Tuesday. Enjoy the final game of the men's national championship tomorrow. Peace out.
Peace.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.